Hello friends and welcome to Fey Earth, a magical world set in an alternate 19th century Earth, where every creature from folklore and fairy tale is real, have always been real, and lived alongside humanity. Join our adventurers as they explore a world of arcane mysteries and danger, where the new scientific and industrial age collides with an ancient world of fairy and magic.
Okay folks, and we are back. Is everything... are my captions working? There's a bit of a delay. Okay, yes, there's a bit more of a lag, but we are back. So, when last we left our heroes, the party was on the train from Lyon to Dijon on part of their quite long journey to the town of Cambrai. This is a town or city, you're not sure which, that is very far north, approximately 40 kilometers from the Belgian border. They are going here because Gwyn, the party witch, had cast a spell that revealed that Mina's brother is in this location. They are currently sitting in the first class dining carriage of the train, having been invited here by an alluring and stunningly beautiful woman who seems very interested in Gwyn, who seems to be completely overcome by gay panic. So...
yes.
Returning to our heroes, the woman who had introduced herself as Josephine Gauthier, she gestures to one of the servers, and as the young woman comes up to you all, she says, so Gwyn, would you like another gin and tonic?
Yes, please. That would be wonderful.
And I'm sorry, please forgive me. And your name is, gesturing to Sylvia.
I am... Sylvia, but just coffee is fine for me, thank you.
That's a Berlin accent, yes?
Yeah, I am from there originally.
And yourself, Gwyn, I can't quite tell your accent. It seems like it is somewhere from in Britain, but it's certainly not London. It's certainly not Birmingham. Where exactly is it you're from?
That's a good guess. Most people would have no idea. I'm from the Southwest.
I'm more well-traveled than most people.
So, you must be.
And she turns back to the maid who's like standing waiting. I will have a Cabernet Sauvignon and a gin and tonic water and a cafe. And the woman's like, yes, ma'am. And she heads off to get your drink. So... I must say, you're quite the interesting group. You were hard not to spot while we were waiting for the train to arrive. It's not often you would see a quartet of women like yours, you know? Someone African, though not from the north of Africa, Algerians, like we'd see more commonly here in France. And, you know, clearly, if I may be so bold, a witch was... you're kind of easy to spot with all the trinkets that you carry on you.
Okay, good way.
And your friend, I don't think I've ever seen a member of the Swiss Guard who is so short in all of my life.
Oh, that's so mean. Short but mighty, don't be fooled.
She's
by her
very, very skilled and very strong. And
I am sure she's very strong, but still, to think that you know, they train to fight giants and she looks like she could maybe come up to a giant's waist.
She can hack off her leg with her halberd, and we did fight an ogre, and she was quite effective.
Oh,
so
some of men's most vulnerable parts are at waist height.
So. It's true.
That is true. Convenient for us.
And yourself, my dear, what exactly is your tale, if you do not mind me asking?
Well, as you very astutely guessed, I am from Cornwall, and that's where my family hails from. We go back generations there, and I guess I'm here for adventure and
really?
To experience the continent, even though it is dark times after the war. When I was 19 to be heading out to a war-torn continent, but here we are.
It was a troubling time. So are all of your family witches? Do you come from a line of casters?
I do. Yes, I come from a line of female casters, going all the way back.
That is fascinating. And what of yourself, gesturing to Sylvia? What skills, if I may be so bold, I'm just so curious with your group. Are you a spellcaster as well? Are you a warrior like your Swiss friend?
Oh, no. In another life, I was a soldier, but I'm a druid now.
Oh, how fascinating. The druids are quite a lovely group. The way they... It's actually quite funny, actually. A druid and a witch, you both get your magics through your connections with nature, but in very different ways. My background is I'm actually an artificer.
Ah, I was wondering, because you know the illusions that you could cast, and...
Oh, that's just a fun little trick. When the conductor came by, I don't mean to be rude, but he would have made a fuss seeing you here.
Of course. I absolutely do not belong here, looking at Gwen pointedly.
And tell us about yourself, Josephine. Where do you come from?
Oh, I'm from all over.
You're the second person in a few days who's told us that very thing. Can I detect where her accent may be from?
No, it's really hard to tell. Okay. And of course, in the 19th century, France was still very regional in its languages. We're talking post-Enlightenment period, so they had really been trying to crush all of the local dialects of French, as well as the unique individual languages like Breton, for example. She has a very mixed accent. You know, one minute you're thinking, well, actually, you wouldn't know because you don't know France. You've only come into France, so you would not be able to tell. Sylvia, likewise, you could, if Amanada was at the table, she could maybe guess because she was raised in France, but you two haven't got a chance.
But it is a French accent.
Oh, she is French. Definitely okay. French. Okay. I am not going to do a French accent, so I'm doing a mild, softly British accent because this woman is so extra. Okay. Yep. So definitely French.
Okay.
As an artificer, I'm sure that you can make many amazing magical items then.
Yes, most of what we artificers make are trinkets, though I have got some experience in more powerful industrial magics. I spend my time between Paris and Lyon. I have stores and workshops in both cities. And I have contracts. I sometimes making arcanely powered pistons and engines for industrialists in both areas. As well as, of course, the everyday. I would be quite a successful artificer.
Weirdly, Gwen thinks to herself, she doesn't say this to Sylvia, but Gwen thinks to herself, pity she's not a man. Make of that what you will. And she does ask, what's the name of your shop? We are heading to Paris, so it would be... Maybe we'll have the opportunity to call in.
My shop. It's just Gautier's Wonders.
Lovely. You know, we are staying in a small village, and good Magitek is very hard to come by.
Yes. If you were looking for me, I'm in the third arrondissement of the city. So, I'd be very interested to chat you some more if you're interested in these things.
Yes, definitely.
So you're from a small village, or you have just come from a small village?
Oh, I'm from quite a large port town, actually, in Cornwall. It's called Exeter, but we're staying in a small village at the moment. I was originally bound for Paris, but the fates threw me into a tiny village called Cherville, which is where I met my travelling companion. So it hasn't been all bad.
Cherville.
Have you heard of it? It's very provincial.
I think vaguely sounds familiar. Isn't there a large forest near there?
Yes, the Tronquet Forest. It has caused us no end of troubles.
Really? How come?
Yeah. There's been a huge amount of fey activity in the area. The elven residents of the forest seem to be calling them to her. And it's just caused a lot of disruption for the locals.
An elf, you say? There's very few of them left in France since the revolution.
Very few, yes.
Fascinating. So you are quite a band of adventurers then, yes?
I suppose you could say that, yes. Yes, thrown together by the fates.
That's quite fortuitous, because as an artificer, I'm often looking for adventurers to do work for me.
Well, I'm sure we could make a bargain if you had any magitech that maybe we need. I'm sure we could do some trades, our skills for your technology.
Well, I do actually, I am looking for some people to do some exploratory work for me. I have been researching and I've come upon information regarding an abandoned fey mound a little bit north of Paris that I was hoping to send a group in to explore. As an artificer, these sites can be very, very valuable to us, because when the fey leave an area, I mean, as you know, the fey are quite nomadic. Many fey will move from one site to another at different stages throughout the year, but then return. Sometimes two clans of fey will fight each other and one will wipe the other out. Or sometimes they will just leave for no reason and no one knows. And that seems to be the case here. This particular site, it's a little bit north of Paris. And it's, from my research and records, it seems there hasn't been a sight of any fey activity in nearly 100 years. But when they abandon these sites, quite often they leave behind certain treasures and occasionally enchanted items, and it's the items that artificers like myself are especially interested in, because getting to study fey enchantments can really help us grow our understanding of the arcane, you see.
If we were to do such a thing, would you be traveling with us, or would you be staying outside?
No, I don't have time for this. I am very busy. I have another assistant that would possibly be traveling with you on this. We would come to an arrangement regarding payment. As I said, this is a site that, as far as I'm aware, has been abandoned. I don't make a habit of raiding sites that Lucien and the likes are living in the same
way. Oh, of course.
I would not break into someone's home and steal from them, you know? So.
Yeah. Gwyn just is sitting forward in her chair now. Now she's interested. I think that's a fantastic idea, Sylvia.
Yeah, the only thing is we do have such business.
We do have.
But certainly after, that is concluded. Well, a little bit away from Paris, but after that we could certainly come to an agreement.
Absolutely. I think this is a great opportunity. I'm sure we can come to an agreement.
Wonderful. That would be truly wonderful. As I said, we could come to some sort of an agreement. Normally when I hire adventurers for these kinds of things, we agree that I will take 10% of any treasure found and all enchanted items, and then the party of adventurers keep the remaining 90% of the treasures. It's the items that I am more interested in than any gold or silver or jewels. While gold and silver and jewels are obviously quite nice, I am quite a wealthy woman because of what I do.
So, but you want to also further your studies and become more skilled, so this is where your interest is, yeah?
Exactly. Enchanted items made by the Fae are far more useful to me than a hoard of gold.
Which is definitely of interest to us. So that sounds good to me. Sylvia, what do you think the others would agree?
Well, I think Mina would be quite eager to conclude our business first, but after that, I think she would be happy to. I think they would be happy, certainly, if there is an opportunity to gain more coin, you know.
Yes, they. Great opportunity, I think.
We do need these things. Also, I would like the opportunity to have access to more powerful magics also. Mm-hmm. I am quite eager to learn some new spells in particular. So, you know.
Yes.
Because of what is going on, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, certainly when you come, I assume you'd be coming back through Paris, yes, after you finish your business?
Yes. Yeah. You could perhaps call in at your shop.
One moment, please. And she reaches into a little She's got, and I suppose it's one of the things that somewhat looks slightly out of place. On her belt, you see a leather pouch, okay? Similar to the pouches that you might have, Gwyn, to carry your various different things. But so on her, it looks slightly out of place. It's very fine leather. It's good quality, but it just looks odd. Mm-hmm. Like the dress that she's wearing looks like it would cost a factory worker 6 to 12 months of their wages, you know? So this little leather pouch hanging from a fine belt around her waist looks out of place. But she reaches in and then she takes out a pen and takes out a piece of paper. And you're looking at like the piece of paper that she takes out, it's like it's a small piece of paper, maybe A5, okay? And a pen. And you're like that's weird. You don't carry pens in.
She's got a goblin purse. I want one.
Me too.
In beautiful, wonderful joint handwriting, she writes Gautier's Wonders and the address of her shop in the 3rd arrondissement. And then folding it up, she places it in your hand, Gwyn. So she doesn't hand it to you. She takes your hand and places it in your hand. And
oh, beautiful. I mean, wonderful. I mean, thank you.
And as she does, you can feel her skin is so soft.
Oh.
Sylvia is just so watching nice. This going, what the fuck am I doing here? Jesus
Gwyn's Christ. Mouth is just like a little bit like...
Your
she's
mouth
just
is suddenly,
staring at her. She's like,
your
oh my
mouth
god.
Is suddenly so dry.
Yeah, so dry. So no dry. Words come out. No words. No words.
Oh, God.
Gwyn just like keeps her hands there as long as Josephine wants.
She asks if you'd like another drink or some food or whatever. She's happy to keep talking to you. And like she asks you about what was happening in Cherville, interested to hear the stories of your exploits. Mm-hmm.
Sylvia is gonna like talk Gwyn up.
Thank you. Because Gwyn can't talk for herself right now.
So Sylvia is just like, oh, finally, somebody who's clearly interested in just a little bit of fun and isn't some poor innocent fucking farm girl whose heart's Gwyn's gonna break. This woman is gonna be fine with Gwyn upping and leaving. This is fine. So she's just gonna like Sylvia's very much like Gwyn kind of go for it. This is a great idea. I think it'll do you some good, you know. As we're telling stories of our exploits, like Sylvia is going to be really emphasizing on how she's going to, when we talk about Dubois, we'll talk about how like when Sylvia cast a spell on him, it was just to kind of take him down a peg because he was so fucking arrogant and annoying. And like how she got like horribly attacked by the werewolf, but leaving out that like she
leave out the details.
Leaving out the details. But, you know, thankfully the werewolf was too young to pass on the curse. And, you know, the ogre, when poor Mina was getting eaten, like Gwyn was there with her wand of blasting and absolutely just... So Sylvia is, you know, fucking go for it. I do not need to be here. I do not
Best
want to be here. So
amazing,
you know. Yeah, it's she is all about doing that. So
okay, right. Okay.
That's a poor innocent farm girl, so you can go nuts. It's not
that's
like
what
it's,
makes her so scary.
It's not Marie or poor Juliet, so like absolutely go for it.
Uh-huh. Okay.
How is she reacting to this? Is she kind of thinking, oh, wow, Gwyn, you're so amazing.
She is very impressed by what you're saying, you know, very much so. But she is listening, and when you're talking about, like, Dubois, for example, she's like, oh, yes, we've all met men like that, and, you know,
spends a lot of time with the widows, you know, if you catch my meaning.
Oh, yes, I'm well aware of men like that. Mm. They're never quite as impressive as they think they are.
True.
But yes, so as you are having this conversation, you hear just a little bit further up from where you were, you suddenly hear a sound of an infant crying, a baby. Okay? And looking up towards the other end, you see a well-dressed young woman, average height, slender build, wearing a lovely dark green dress, you know. Not quite as fancy as what Josephine is wearing, but still clearly looks like she belongs in first class. And she's leaning over into a little kind of Moses-style basket, and there's a child crying. She's like, oh, what's wrong, Locke? What's wrong? What's wrong? It's like, what? Wait, where's your rattle gone? And you see her, like, she's looking around in his, like, blanket and stuff as her, clearly her young son is crying. It's like, and she's looking around at like, what the hell? As, and at the same, roughly the same time, you hear off to one side, this slightly more, a middle-aged man, like, well, later middle-aged man, just kind of gets up and she's like, what? He's got an average height, slightly heavy set. You'd seen him on the at the platform. The guy was waistcoat training and thinning hair. And he's like, "Where's my watch?" And the guy you'd seen like fiddling with the gold was like, "What the hell? My watch is gone."
Oh no!
When this happens, Sylvia's kind of going to start. She's just going to reach inside. She's just feeling around to make sure that she's still wearing all her stuff.
All your possessions are still there.
I'm gonna do the same. Check all my amulets and bags.
I want to also check in my bag because there's something I want to make sure is still there.
Every item that you own, Sylvia, is still there.
Okay.
When you're checking through your witch's bottle, your rabbit's foot, all of your amulets are still there. You look into your purse, your money's still there. You're looking around, everything's still there. And you notice one thing is missing. The letter from Juliet is missing.
Oh my gosh.
Are my letters still there? My letters are all still there.
All your possessions are still there, Sylvia.
Okay.
Oh, this is in my book of shadows. Okay.
Your book of shadows is still there.
It's still there. Okay. Whew, okay.
The letter's gone.
Gwyn jumps up and says something's gone, something really important. What's going on here? Can I do a little check? Do I see anything? Do I see a watch floating in thin air? Yeah, or
give me an awareness roll.
Okay. Oh, jeez. That was a 4. My awareness is 1. 5. I see nothing.
Josephine puts her hand on your arm and says, wait, Gwyn, what's missing? Is it
a really important letter?
A letter? What the?
It was in my book of shadows. I don't know how that's gone and everything else is still here. That's
all of my strange. All of my things are still here.
What a thing to steal. I don't understand.
You mutter some arcane words and there's a flash and you see a flash of silver across her eyes.
She's casting true sight.
As she looks. She's looking around and she suddenly reaches out with one hand, gesturing in the direction of the elderly woman that you'd seen earlier who's sitting down. And as she reaches, you hear a squeal, a cry. No! Not from the woman, from thin air. As as Josephine is reaching out with one hand, and as I say, as Josephine is reaching out with one hand, you hear the squeal of no! And then with a wave of her other hand, and you see a shimmer of magic coming out, you see appearing, floating in the middle of the air, you see a figure. All right. One moment, please.
I'm about to cremate this thing, whatever it is.
I'm being told that I can't be heard in chat. That's weird. You guys can all hear me, yeah? Can other... Can other people in chat hear me? Okay, sorry. Okay, must have been the mic. skirting out for a second. Thanks, Pat, for letting me know. So, appearing in front of you is a goblin.
It's about to be an ex-goblin, if he doesn't give me that letter back.
Appearing in front of you is a goblin. They're like, and you've seen them before. You've seen one or two before. Short creatures, like a little over a meter in height.
Sylvia's seen loads.
Sylvia, you've seen lots of goblins in the war. So short, about a meter tall, wearing a brilliantly vibrant blue, like royal blue jacket with red trim, a vibrant green waistcoat. Like goblins, like other fae, love bright colors. Crisp white and in short black trousers that come to the knee, and then white socks that come up, and brightly polished black shoes, wearing this kind of small, soft red woolen pointed conical cap over them. Young kind of cherubic features, and the golden eyes that goblins have, almost cat-like eyes, that is common for them. And you can see in one hand, he just reached for and plucked this cameo brooch from the old woman. She cries out, she's reserved, and she with quite impressive reflex, such an elderly woman, takes her cane and snaps it down onto his hand. She's like, "You beast, that was a gift from my husband." And the cameo brooch like drops from the creature. And he's like, sorry, and he's looking
at conjures fireball. You're about to be cremated.
How close is Gwyn to Sylvia?
She's not thinking about anything.
Fireball or firebolt? Because you don't have
firebolt.
Fireball is third level. You haven't gotten there yet.
Yes, I don't.
And I wouldn't recommend casting fireball in the enclosed space of a train.
Of a carriage.
Yeah, that would be bad.
Gwyn is enraged, so, she's like, angry Gwyn.
Sylvia jumps away from Gwyn when she casts that because...
You see Josephine's hands curl as if she's like squeezing at something, and you hear the goblin like squeak. He's like, I'm sorry. he's like, it looks like he's been
drop
like,
everything
crushed.
Now.
No, he can't move. It's like he's being crushed by an invisible force. He's literally floating and being held in the air as she has a hand out, and she says to him, "Now, that was a particularly unpleasant thing to be doing. Seriously, who steals a toy from a babe? You will relieve yourself of the items that you have taken now. And if you do, I will be so kind as to..." And you see, he kind of scours at her, and he goes to do something. And you see his form shimmer for a second as she flings out her hand again, dispelling whatever magic he was about to use to try to escape. As I say, no. You are picked the wrong carriage, mon ami. Now, you will return the items that you have taken, and then I will let you blink out of here. And you see his hands kind of free a bit, and he kind of rummages around, and he drops this little silver baby's rattle, and then he drops the gold watch that the gentleman had obviously had, and then finally a piece of paper flutters down onto the table.
Gwyn grabs it and just clutches it.
Okay, and he goes, That's all I took. I was just having some fun. I was bored. The train pulled up. I thought this would be fun. I promise, that's it.
For your sake, maybe we should turn him upside down and shake him just to be sure.
For your sake, I hope it is, because you know, a goblin got into our camp once. And then she's going to look at the elderly woman and say, "Oh, maybe I should not tell that story here." The quick version is the goblin was very unhappy for a very long time, and most of him got away.
Sylvia, so I want you to, I know these aren't your stats, but I'm going to give it to you anyway. This is intimidation, so this is a charm-based roll.
I know
it's not your thing, but you know, maybe you'll roll well.
Oh, maybe I will. I'm just making sure my
thing is actually... She should get a bonus because she has a German accent.
Yes.
True. Everything sounds
menacing, apparently, in a German.
Yeah, that is true, yes.
Sylvia is actually a big softie. Like,
Well, roll for me anyway. We'll see how we get on here.
Okay, so I rolled a 15. My charm is 1, so that's a 16.
Okay, he's like, you can tell he's clearly, he's like, I have cousins who were in, fought in the war. I didn't, but I okay. That's everything. I promise. I give you my word. I know from my kin that doesn't necessarily mean much compared to other fae, but I genuinely, this is all I took.
Okay.
I didn't have time to take any more.
Lucky for you.
Fine.
The gods are kind today, it seems.
So, Josephine, looking at you, Gwyn, to check, are you okay?
Oh, I'm fine. Yeah, I grabbed the letter and like I'm weirdly like clutching this piece of paper like really tightly to my chest.
You can tell she pauses, like checking for a moment. You're okay, and seeing that you're like upset.
Yeah, I'm like I'm calming down, like very angry, but now calming. Yeah.
Okay, mon ami, you can go. And she doesn't release her grip, but he suddenly vanishes, and like literally disappears, and is gone. And the young woman. The mother, she rushes up, she takes the baby rattle, the more elderly man, he's like, kind of getting up, he's kind of blustery, and it's like, you know, he's like, thank you very much, madame, and takes his pocket watch, and the elderly woman, she's like, thank you very much, my dear, that was a gift from my late husband, and she puts the cameo brooch back on the front of her collar, as Josephine goes, well, and she puts a hand on your hand, Gwyn. Kind of gently getting you to sit back down. It's like, would you like a nice drink?
I could use one after that.
You seem quite upset. I think that
no, I'm fine now. I'm fine.
If you would like, I could bring you back to my private cabin and you could rest there.
Yeah, Gwyn, maybe you do look very shaken.
That's not a bad idea.
So, she says, well, thank you, my dear Sylvia. Don't worry. I promise I will look after your friend.
Oh, I know you will. Don't worry.
So, taking you by the hand, she leads you out of the dining carriage.
Oh, shit. Does the illusion fade from what I have
done? No, it hasn't faded yet, but think you should get out of here.
I'm going to get it. I'm going to get the fuck out because, I need to.
Yeah.
I didn't want to be here anyway, so this is fine.
You book it back to Mina and Aminata and tell them, so Mina, you see Sylvia coming back to you. Gwyn's not there.
She's fine, honestly.
Yeah, I figured.
Look, you know, I think in this case, it's fine because that woman is not an innocent farm girl. So she is able to handle Grimm. And you know what? In instances like this, when it is all very casual, it's fine. I have no issues with this. The problem is when, provided everybody knows what is going on, it's just a little bit of fun and we're all having fun. You know, everyone, they take the clothes off, they have the fun and all of that. Provided everybody knows that's all that's going on, it's fine. The issue with Juliet is she thought that more was happening.
Yeah.
I am concerned that Marie may also think there is more going on, but that woman, there is no problem. So we leave them to it.
So Josephine leads you out of the dining carriage up to the first and then to another one of the the first class private cabins. And she brings you up to one of them, takes out a key, unlocks the door. You come in. It's a small cabin. Okay. Like it's about 3 meters across. There are two bunk beds. And then there is a small section with a little table area. And she turning to you, she closes the door. Pulls down a little blind over the window in the door, takes your hands in hers and says, you're shivering.
It's just the shock. You were like a cat. I don't know what we would have done if you hadn't reached out and grabbed that little bleep.
Oh, it's just a shock. I'd hoped you were shivering because of me, as she leans in for a kiss.
Well, maybe that too.
And we will fade to black.
Yeah, we'll just like spice, so on, happens, fun things.
Oh, Sylvia.
What?
So,
what? I'm helping.
You did help. You did.
Right. So you spend, guys, you don't see Gwyn again until about 10, 15 minutes before the train is due to arrive in Dijon.
She's fine. I'm not even remotely worried.
Gwyn comes back very red faced, looking
very depressed.
Yeah, looking like she ran a marathon.
Well, great train ride. So, what did I miss?
Sylvia's just going to hand her a hairbrush.
Thanks. Yeah.
She's not even going to say anything. She's just going to give her a hairbrush.
My new friend, Josephine, is great, eh?
We can see her again when we are coming back, okay?
We will. We will.
Okay.
Sylvia will have updated Aminata and Mina on the whole thing and the Feymans and the possible getting work and the so, you know, all that stuff.
Of course, yeah, absolutely. By the way, before you left, Madame Gauthier, she did give you the name of the hotel that you'd be staying in and said that she could arrange for rooms for you and your friends.
An excellent idea. What's the name?
Le Grand Chambre.
Yeah, but how much is it going to fucking cost us? Is that going to be all our gold gone?
You don't know.
We'll see.
Yeah. Maybe Gwyn could just share with her and the rest of us could stay in a nice B&B or something.
That's fine too.
Yeah, listen.
So, You get off, the train eventually pulls into the train station in Dijon. As you're getting out, you see Madame Gauthier. She has a couple of cases that are being carried by some of the porter staff. As she sees you, she smiles and kind of leans her head. She's walking in the direction of a cab. And as she alights, she pauses and looks very pointedly waiting for you, Gwyn.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll go over to her. And
Sylvia will have given her a gentle shove and
a mental shove. I'll kind of briskly walk over and just give her a kiss on the cheek.
So, would you like to join me?
I would love to. You have no idea how much, but we really are on urgent business, as much as it pains me to say this.
Well, the train to Paris is not leaving until the morning.
Well, now that you mentioned that, let me just talk to my friends and Rin runs back. Josephine has asked if I would maybe go with her for the evening. And since our train doesn't leave till tomorrow, I just wanted to check that was okay. Where should we meet tomorrow? At the train station?
Have you got the load still with you?
No, Aminata still has that.
Aminata, can you give her the load still in case we lose her?
So Mina, you have the compass and Gwyn has the load still.
Yeah.
Good thinking. In case.
So just be on the train, all right?
I'll be in case
you lose track of time.
I hope to. Okay. And then
try and get some sleep.
Mm-hmm. Hell no.
Gwyn, you go back off with Madame Gauthier evening in her suite in her hotel. Le Grand
Chambre. I did say, in all fairness, though, I did say you should check an artificer, so there you go.
Yeah,
so, the rest of you guys, you look for a place. You actually do find a fairly nice looking small guest house called La Petite Chambre. Actually, kind of funny. You're like, okay. It's a small little guest house. It's pretty nice. Going in, you see the like main manager behind the desk is this very tall, kind of heavy set man, like really powerful, strong build to him. Okay, sandy blonde hair. Wearing the grey, I was wearing simple, like, tan-coloured waistcoat over a linen shirt with sleeves rolled up, and you see this like, little brass pocket watch as he comes in and he says, "Oh, bonjour, mademoiselles. My name is Hervé. Welcome to La Petite Chambre. Would you like rooms for the evening?"
Yeah, thank you. That would be great.
D'accord, no problem at all. Yes, we can certainly give you accommodation for the night. It would be 6 copper each for a room and then for breakfast in the morning.
Yeah, this sounds good.
Dinner will be served this evening at 8 o'clock and we can just add that bill to your rooms. D'accord?
Oh, yeah, and we can settle it as we leave in the next day. We have a train that we need to catch, yeah?
Oh, I assume it's the train to Paris?
Yeah.
That leaves at 9:30 in the morning.
Oh, thank you. Okay.
D'accord. Okay. So, yeah, you guys go. You have a very nice, enjoyable evening. It's a nice little place. It's a cozy little guest house, okay? Small rooms. It's all very nice. The meal you have is very
nice. Do we have our own rooms or are we doubling up?
No, you have your own rooms again. Okay.
Okay.
Gwen, you go with Madame Gauthier to La Grande Chambre. This is a very fancy hotel. This is like four-star, maybe five-star kind of hotel.
Mm-hmm.
You're let in. The porters take her luggage up to her room. You're brought up in a little bit. This is a suite. Okay, there is a small living room area, there's a chalange and so forth, and a very big four-poster bed. Like, it's very, very nice.
Fabulous. Well, I think after all the journeying, I should probably take a bath. You could always join me.
Oh, I intended to.
Excellent.
Yes, they will have the bath ready for us in about 20 minutes, okay? There is a separate bathroom area, and there's a beautiful, large, like, ivory-colored, like, porcelain bath with, like, the claw tooth, brass claw tooth feet, and they fill it up, putting rose petals and oils into it. They're using hot stones, which you are aware of, these enchanted stones that you literally just throw it into the bath, and it heats up the water. You guys have a wonderful bath. She basically make sure that you work up an appetite before you go downstairs for a very fine meal that evening. And she's asking all about you. She's really interested in not just your magic, but also in your family history. She's saying that you're coming from this line of women, you know, who've all, you know, all spellcasters, you know. And she does ask, no men in your family, no?
Yeah, I think Gwen actually would give her a lot of details. It's almost easier because she's kind of a stranger as opposed to the party who she knows well, weirdly. And yeah, she'll explain that I had an ancestor, Althea, who was unfortunately burnt at the stake for practicing witchcraft. And her daughter decided that the women in our family would, I suppose, never let people forget men about what they did to Althea. So the women in my family have always trained in magic. It's just what we do, and we help the locals, particularly like women in Exeter if they find themselves in trouble, you know, of all varieties. And yeah, you're right, there's no men in our family, and that's very deliberate considering, you know.
Are you able to ensure that none of the children of your family are men?
Magic. We've quite an elaborate ritual to determine the gender of the baby. I saw it once. My aunt performed it, and I was young though, but it involved lots of herbs, a pendulum. It's kind of hazy, but yeah, magic. Like most things we do, all depends on magic.
Fascinating. I don't think I've ever met such a clown.
I'm starting to gather we're kind of unique. I didn't think that obviously at home growing up. It was all just normal, but realizing out here in the big bad world, it's seems to be quite an unusual upbringing. We're very set in our ways, I suppose. And I'm kind of realizing I was raised with very specific beliefs that, yeah, I guess the world is making me think twice about, but... Anyway, I'm rambling. That's enough for me. Tell me about yourself. Well,
this is the thing. Like, she is like the perfect partner in that she's listening to you. She's engaging you. She's interested in what you're saying. You know, she's laughing at your jokes. And she is genuinely interested in what you're saying. She tells you a bit about herself. She is clearly a very successful artificer. This woman is loaded. But that in itself is not strange, because artificers as a profession are very wealthy because of the nature of what they do. They're extremely rare. They make incredibly valuable items. Even the mundane items, the everyday items that people might buy, they're still so useful that you make a lot of money from that. And then on top of that, if you are getting into Magitek, working with industrialists, working with factories, you can be minted, you know? It's kind of crazy. So she talks a bit about her background. She was from a fairly, like, a kind of a lower middle class family. Her father was a cleric, but that at an early age, she showed signs that she was gifted in magic, and that her father worked very hard to save up for her to be able to go to the Sorbonne, where she studied in sorcery, in the arcane, and she's like, she's not like being dismissive of her background, but she's basically made it clear, like, she wasn't from any sort of a fancy exceptional family, not a clan of female castes like you, that she was from a very normal kind of lower middle class family, but she was one of these rare humans who's born with the arcane spark, which, you know yourself, is rare in people who aren't fey touched, but that, and that, you know, her parents worked really hard, her father worked really hard to save up money so that he could pay tuition. She was an only child, so that made things a bit easier in a way. And then she studied in the Sorbonne. She was exceptionally good at her skills. She's a very gifted, one of the top in her class. She does talk a bit about how during the war, the government was approaching artificers and trying to get them involved. And some were getting involved a bit, but she kind of stayed away from that. She talks about how they were asking them if they could make enchanted weapons for the army, and how, like, doesn't work. That, like, while there is such a thing as arcane revolvers, firearms that don't use gunpowder, but fire shots of pure arcane energy, they were first developed about 30 years ago in Ireland, that no one has been able to mass produce these because they are enchanted items. If you wanted to mass produce them, you would need a factory of artificers. And that just does not, it's not possible. So this is a thing that, you know, she says, it was a extremely gifted dwarf of Jotunheim that was living in Ireland, in Dublin, I believe, who created the first arcane revolver, from what I've heard. And
don't say.
they have been somewhat more perfected in the years since. But,
you don't say.
But that governments across Europe have tried to get artificers to make them for their armies, but it's not possible. They can't be mass manufactured the way a mundane firearm can, because with a mundane firearm, really all you are doing is assembling tubes to spring-loaded pins and triggers. The power of the weapon is in the gunpowder, in the bullet, you see, whereas the power of an arcane firearm is in enchanted stones that store arcane energy and is released by the weapon. So yes. So yeah, you do get a bit of a fascinating history on that. And then you have a wonderful meal. She brings you back to the room, at which point she pulls out a few more items from her bag, including a long wooden wand, which she,
Jesus Christ,
she runs her hands along the sides of it, and some arcane glyphs on it start to glow.
Well, that's interesting. I haven't seen one of those before.
Well, you wouldn't find one of these in Britain. It's Britain, more of a puritanical country. They're rare. They're called goblin wands, and it starts to hum. And as she hands it to you, you feel it vibrating.
Is that what we call them now? Oh, excellent. Yes. You know, I can think of a couple of uses for this.
Oh, I'm going to show you, and she does.
Excellent. Gwyn is in love. Just so you know.
Oh no, that's not what I was
on the my goblin wand. Okay.
So this is canon in the game. Goblin
wands. Yes. I'm putting together a shopping list as we speak.
Yes. So, don't worry, I'll tell you all about it.
And the next day you all get up, you get to the train station where you find Gwyn and Madame Gauthier. Gwyn is looking exhausted. Madame Gautier looks just as stunningly beautiful and fresh as she did the day before. Gwen looks like she got about 3 hours sleep. Because she got about 3 hours sleep.
Mm-hmm.
Sylvia's going to just, you hear in your mind Sylvia saying, you can sleep on the train, you'll be fine.
I need to.
So,
Gwen is in like a haze. Yeah.
You get onto the train. This train journey is even longer than the one from Lyon to Dijon. Yeah. It's like a
bit... As we're leaving, Sylvia will say, we will maybe see you in a few days.
So yeah, as I say, it's like a nearly 12-hour train journey from Dijon to Paris. Gwen spends most of that journey in the first-class carriage with Madame Gautier. Does not get any sleep. And you do eventually arrive in Paris that night. Aminata arranges for you a cab to her family home. When you get to the family home in Paris, the door is opened by a young woman. Probably looks like she's about maybe 19, 20. Average height, slender build, wearing a maid's uniform. As the door opens, she sees Aminata, says, "Oh, Mademoiselle Moreau, sorry, I did not know you were coming." She said, and I was like, "Oh, Julie, it's okay." And my parents, she's like, "I'm sorry, the monsieur and the madame are away. It is just myself minding the house at the moment." She says, "Please come in." So this is, Amelie explains, this is Julie. She is one of the family maids. She arranges, you get to spend the night. You are doubling up here because it's like, it's a family home. Okay, there's a guest room. So one of you, you got Sylvia, Mina, you guys share in their guest room, and Gwyn is invited by Aminata to share her bed, okay, for the night. And then the next morning,
Aminata is going to want details anyway.
I'm going to tell her all about this newfangled thing.
All the details. Yeah. Okay.
All the details.
Mina would probably, her head would explode.
Do you tell Mina any of these details?
Oh, no. No. Nor Justine. Yeah. They're just too innocent.
Sylvia fucking knows exactly what you're getting up to. Absolutely.
Sylvia
was
an experienced lesbian. She knows all this shit.
She was married.
She still is a lesbian.
But anyway. So next morning, you just get up. Julia has done a nice, simple but nice breakfast for you all. Okay? And you jump on the train to Cambrai. All right. So yet again, just so we're putting into context just how far you guys have traveled. Okay. Paris to Cambrai is still another 160 kilometers.
Is this where Mina's brother is on the map?
This is where Mina's brother is. Okay. So like, it's another, like you guys, as I said, you've traveled over 400 kilometers from Cherville.
You know? I have to.
Gwen is going to sleep on this train.
Has Gwen taken exhaustion damage?
She's having a long rest on this train.
Gwen definitely had taken exhaustion damage. But like, to put into context, okay, Cambrai is about 40 kilometers from the Belgian border. You guys were like smack in the middle of Paris. Or sorry, of France. You think of massive France is. You guys were like Auvergne, like pretty much smack in the middle of the biggest country in like Europe, you know. So in Western Europe certainly, but you do eventually, you get to Cambrai. When you arrive in the town, it's kind of late afternoon, okay, early evening. It's like 5:30, okay, when you get there. Okay. Gwen, if you want,
we probably in the tavern.
Well, if you want, you can cast your spell again.
Yeah, well, that's what we need, kind of somewhere secluded, I guess. We could just duck down a lane or something.
If you want, you could just do it in the train station. It's wherever you want.
Yeah, cool.
So you cast a spell again. This time, what you find is, instead of it being a map of France, you see it forming lines of streets into the city itself, giving you an idea of exactly where you are. And you see the pendulum kind of hovering over what looks to be a fairly large structure in like the northern section of the city. Okay. Yeah. So just give me this.
Okay. I will relay that to the party.
Yeah.
Large structure, north city.
So when you get out of the, I don't know if you want to go there directly or if you want to.
Could be a hospital or something.
So when you get
what time is it now?
It's kind of like 5:30, 6 o'clock in the evening. There's when you get out of the train station, there is a couple of hansom cabs out front.
You know, we could do a drive by and just see what sort of building it is, and then maybe tomorrow.
I think we should find an inn or something close by.
Absolutely.
They should definitely tell this
to the hansom cab driver.
When you give the details and say we're looking for a large building in this section, he says, "Oh, is that the you're looking for? The only large building in that area of the city is the Pamentia Hospital, the military hospital."
Okay, Gwyn just kind of looks at me.
Is there any?
Okay.
Is there an inn anywhere close by?
There's a guest house nearby I could bring you to, yes.
Oh, yeah, that'd be perfect.
And while he's driving, I'll just ask, what sort of military hospital? Is it like a long-term residential, or is it short-term?
It's a mixture of soldiers who had been recovering from injuries, but then other soldiers who had more serious debilitating injuries, men who've lost limbs, lost the use of their legs, who need full-time medical care, are also in this hospital.
I was afraid of. Okay. Sylvia, you know you can sit this one out if it brings back too many traumatic memories of the hospital.
Look, I'm fine. Like, Mina needs to find her brother, and, you know...
Sylvia, you can't even smell a healing poultice without having some sort of flashback. I don't know if going into a hospital is a good idea.
Look, you know, you just put your head down, you get through these things, it's fine.
Okay.
So, do you ask to be brought to the guest house near the hospital?
Yeah, I think so,
because it's so late.
Okay, so you're brought to a nice guest house near the hospital. On the front, it says Chateau de Cessy. And going inside, it's a smallish guest house. You see there's a woman sitting at the desk, kind of stocky build, brown hair, round face with freckles, and she's like wearing a nice fine dark green dress with like some red details. She's like, "Oh, bonjour. My name is Naomi. Would you like rooms for the evening?"
Yes, please. That would be excellent.
Unfortunately, I only have 3 rooms left, but you could share if you wish.
That's fine. We'll share. We'll share.
Okay. Is it just for one night, or do you be staying here for a few days?
One night for the moment. Maybe we'll let you know tomorrow.
D'accord. Okay. So she arranges your rooms. You have a nice meal that evening. Nothing too fancy going on, unless you want to do anything.
Well, how's Mina?
Well, yeah, Mina is, while you arrange the rooms, I'm just going to say to you guys, can you, and especially looking at Sylvia, can you organize all the rooms and maybe some lunch hours or dinner for some dinner or something? I'm just going to go and ask, like, any sort of visiting or something. How far is it? Is it walking distance?
Yeah, it's like 5 minutes. You pass perfect. The hospital to get to the guest house.
Brilliant. So I know where it is. I'll find my way back.
Sylvia is going to just say, "Do you need one of us?"
No, I'll be fine. I'll be fine. And I'll I doubt they let me in, but like, you know. I'll go for a walk and I'll go to the hospital and see if I can find the entrance and their reception or something like that.
Yeah, you go to the hospital, you go in the front door, you see there's like a front kind of reception desk area. There's a young woman in a nurse's uniform, very, very pretty, kind of slim blonde, with oval face, light colored skin, and she's wearing the blue nurse's uniform. She's riding in a legend.
It's like everybody in France. You know, there's a lot of hair colors in France and blonde, like, you know.
But anyway, so she kind of like looks at you a bit strange, like what the fuck are you doing here? This one, she's like, bonjour.
Bonjour, and hi. I'm actually looking for somebody. I'm looking for my brother. His name is Alois Tuisik, and I take out a piece of paper that was like one of his early letters, where he had given me all the details of his rank and number and everything. So I read it all out for her. I was hoping maybe you have, I was told I might be able to find him here. Do you have any documentations of your patients?
We do, but we don't, if it's, I mean, it's not, certainly not visiting hours, but if it's who I think it is, come with me.
Okay.
And she gets up and takes and kind of gestures, and she leads you down the corridor. You go up like two flights of stairs, take a right, going down a long hallway. There's like doors on either side. This is a very large building, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And as you get to a door of a room, and she says, I do not know if this is your brother. If it is, prepare yourself. And she opens the door.
Okay.
And to a small kind of cell, there's like, it's a small single bed. There's a small wash basin. There's a chamber pot. And sitting on the bed, staring off out into the window, you see your brother. But he is extremely gaunt. He's missing his left arm from just below the shoulder. He's kind of just rocking forward and backwards ever so slightly. And as the nurse goes, hello? Your sister is here. Hello? Your sister is here. And he turns in the direction of the voices and looking at you both, there is no expression. There is no recognition. His face is completely blank as he looks straight through you. As she turns, he has not spoken since he came here. His mind is gone. I am sorry. And that's a perfect place, I think, to pause in our story.
I was just waiting for that.
Oh, no. I can't read no. Roland yet. Or restore his mind yet.
That's not the biggest problem here.
No, I can't. I can't. I can't fix his mind either. I can't do that. Yeah, not yet.
Well, we'll have to find a renowned old gypsy healer that sometimes travels to the south of France.
Well, we'll have to wait and see. Thank you, folks, for joining us tonight. Thank you for the raids and the first-time chats. It was wonderful to see you all here.
Oh, we had raids. Nice.
Yes, we had a few raids.
I didn't log into Twitch, so I didn't see anything.
Oh, same. I didn't see it.
No, well, I know you guys normally don't because broadband and so forth. But thank you all for reading for
tonight. Don't risk anything.
It was a really great session introducing some new, interesting, saucy NPCs.
Oh, that's okay. I expected worse.
Mina being reunited with her brother. We will see what happens next. And just a reminder, we do currently have a Kickstarter running for our Ruled Light Whimsical TTRPG Fae Wanderer. This is a game in which you play Fae creatures on a quest for treasure in the Fae realm. This is a really fun game. It's suitable for all ages, from young children to adult children. Very simple set of rules. You can read the entire game, create your characters as the GM, create your adventure, and be ready to go in like under 30 minutes, okay? The link for the Kickstarter is in our chat. We've totally destroyed our funding goals, and there's still about 8 days left. We've burst through all of our stretch goals. We're doing great, but if you'd like to support us, that would be awesome. Otherwise, be sure to be checking us on the usual social medias. We are on Twitter. Screw Muskie. I am not calling it anything but Twitter. We are also on Blue Sky. If you're lucky enough to have gotten an invitation code, we are there also at Fae Earth. And you can, of course, find us on YouTube for old VODs and for one-shot streams. Last Friday, I did a solo stream going through how I do stat blocks for creatures, both for within Fae Earth and also kind of useful for any system. So anyway, that's a lot. Thank you all. We shall see you all next week. Same bad time, same bad channel.
Bye.
Good night, everybody. Bye.
Bye.
Grin, you man.